Ephesians chapter 6. There are notes someplace. I don't know, Pastor Kwok, you place them where? They're in the table in the lobby if you want notes. If you don't want notes, that's fine. Ephesians chapter 6, we will begin reading in verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Let's all stand. My sermon tonight, it is 6:24. By 7 o'clock, we're finished. We might be done earlier. Just in time to go do one of those things we were talking about this morning. All right. We're going to do some Baptist fellowship, but I think more importantly, that sacred meal concept. Folks, if you listen to me, I think if you start reading the Gospels, you will be shocked at how many of the stories revolve around food. But look at me, the food is never mentioned. So it isn't about stuffing your face with your favorite food. And think about the stories. Jesus eats with publicans and sinners. It never said he was having my favorite steak. Americans get fixated on the food, not the sacred activity. All right, enough preaching on that. Tonight is 30 minutes, and this is the title. Keep it simple. This is the third message that I have preached on prayer. My first message I preached on prayer comes from Luke 11, which is this: preach with some sort of a plan. You know, the one Jesus gave you in the Lord's Prayer. Preach with perseverance. Remember the three friends, yes or no? We stand in the middle. God stands as the first friend. We stand in the middle, and we have another friend in need. And we go to God, our friend, and he says, leave me alone. I'm sleeping. And the conclusion of that story is, even though the friend won't arise and give you something just because you're his friend, if you're irritated to death, sooner or later he'll get rid of you. Here's something. Now, that's an overstatement story, but the story is God wants us to pray with a plan and with perseverance, yes? And then underneath all of that is this concept of what? This concept of a presupposition that God wants to take care and meet our needs more than we want to meet the needs of our own children. We talked about the Holy Spirit in prayer. Tonight, boy, this is simple. Keep it simple. Because part of our problem, and we don't recognize it until you get the meditation stuff in order, and if you still don't have the mind in order, you're still not going to know what I'm talking about tonight. Until you get the mind and the heart in order, where you can control your thinking and your mind, you're going to talk yourself out of praying. Why pray for Danny's mom? She's dying. Do me a favor, find that in the scripture someplace. Just keep things simple. By the way, whose job is it to answer prayer? What's your job? Leave the rest with God. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all and supplication for, and then Paul, I love this. This is my favorite line in the whole thing. And he says, and oh, by the way, and for me, please pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds or in chains, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is the third in the series. We're talking about disciplines of grace. We're talking about on your knees, the prayer piece of this. I dealt with the Bible. I'm now dealing with prayer. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable evening. Help me to share simple ideas. Nothing in this tonight that is complex. Everything is simple. But for some reason, we lose ourselves in our own mind. and we our own mind trips us up and we never get where we're going. Help us tonight to hear these simple exhortations. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I want to begin tonight with a story. But the problem is, I'm not sure if the story is true. The story is true to the person's personality. It's impossible. By the way, there are two preachers, at least, that there are a lot of stories about that it is impossible to find out if they actually happen. Spurgeon is one, and D.L. Moody's another. Just stories spin around Moody. But this story sounds like Moody, and I think it probably is true. I know the quote is true. D.L. Moody was being criticized or critiqued, which is an all too common problem. And by the way, if somebody thinks I'm speaking to them tonight, I am, but this sermon was written a month and a half ago, okay? So it has nothing to do with anything recent. Pastors are criticized, critiqued. Everybody knows way more than leadership. That's the first thing you learn. And if you want to be a leader, we have Brian now going to be a leader. Let me just tell all of you up front. Yes, you may call and tell him. God bless him. Because, see, when he was here, he was hidden behind me. There's nobody to hide behind. And he will be critiqued and criticized and even a little chismous. Because people who are airheaded can't really do much except critique and criticize and gossip. That is their life. Well, D.L. Moody was getting it. Now, most people were not bold enough to go to D.L. Moody and criticize him. Some guy got the brilliant idea of actually going to D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, and criticizing him to his face. And they told him all the things that D.L. Moody was doing wrong. And they pointed out, and I always like this, how they could improve what D.L. Moody was doing. And D.L. Moody said this, it's in your notes. He said, I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. Now, friend, the entire sermon is that statement. When it comes to prayer, everybody has an idea. Sometimes I told my wife this in the last day or two. If I said, folks, we all need to go through that door, somebody in this church would say, well, but I can't go through that door. I can only go through that door. I do not know why people are this way. So tonight I'm going to give very simple exhortations, but there's going to be people. They bristle and they groan and I can't do it that way. Well, this is the no excuse sermon. It eliminates all excuses. So I say in your notes, look in your notes. Prayer is both natural and difficult. Do you recognize those two statements? It's the strangest thing. Prayer is the most natural thing we do and the most difficult thing we do. You start praying the day you get saved. But the strange thing is it's also difficult. The difficulties, in Pastor Warren's opinion, do not come primarily from without, but from within. Second-guessing, doubts, fears, overthinking. Have you ever overthought yourself out of doing anything? Do you realize the greatest leaders in history never second-guessed themselves one time? They just don't. Now, that's not always good. Sometimes it's good to have reflection. But the great leaders, if you're ever around them, they just don't second guess. People who can't lead themselves out of this room, that's all they do. And they second guess everybody else, and they're just spinning all the time. I say in your notes, second guessing, doubts, fears, overthinking. You've read somebody's book. Oh, boy. And I say in your notes, we often talk ourselves out of prayer. I think Paul, this is his statement, I like my way of praying better than your way of not praying. Can I have an amen? So tonight all we're going to do is talk about Paul's four exhortations, And let me say this. In this room, most of us have been saved for a while. Doesn't make any difference. Most people don't pray much. How do I know? Same way I know they don't read the Bible much. What's coming out of here isn't what should be coming out of here. More should be coming. And I think I have to turn on a microphone. I don't have Frenchie to do that thing that he did. So now I'm going to have the Big B. Big B, we're going to get you a rappelling device. And if I don't turn this on, you're going to rappel down here. I better not tell him that. He's thinking of doing it right now. We don't want you to do that, Big B. We love you, buddy. Please don't do it. In your notes, here's Paul's simple way of doing it. Pray at all times. That's his first exhortation. Praying how often? Now, by the way, he's not telling you that you walk around and stumble around and I'm always in prayer. That's not the point of this. What he's really telling you is there a time you cannot pray? Praying always, whenever. Midnight, 2 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., praying always. Look at these beautiful verses. I love verse 55, 17. I don't know who I heard preach on this, but it's stuck in my heart. It's a beautiful verse, but there's a problem with the verse we'll get to. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. There's something just beautiful. Evening, of course, was in the Jewish world, the beginning of the next day. So, you know, you go to bed praying. You wake up praying. You pray during the day. Something beautiful about that. Psalm 119, verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. I actually had a guy in Bible college that organized his schedule exactly seven times. I'm going to ask you a question. How long do you think he prayed? I guarantee you that guy has not been in church in 40 years. That kind of behavior that is so blind to reality. The author is not saying, I have a calendar. He's simply saying, I'm praising God all day long. I'm noticing the beauty of God. I'm noticing the wonder of God. I'm noticing how God is good to me. And praise just kind of comes out. Seven is the number of completion or perfection. He's not telling you, you only did it six. That's not enough. And Rhonda, you did it eight. That's too much. In your notes, Psalm Daniel 6. I like this passage too. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward heaven, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day. You say, when were those times? I'm going to guess evening and morning and at noon, more or less. What do you think? I think it's kind of built in, isn't it? If you think about it, you go to bed, you get up, and you have some time during the day. It's kind of a built-in rhythm. It's kind of beautiful. It says, and he prayed and gave thanks. I love this. And he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. The problem comes into what I have in your notes. You hear something in a sermon or you read it in a book. And maybe the pastor or the writer is trying to encourage you. But you feel, look at me please, trapped. I've been here 25 years. I've never preached these kind of sermons, but I still have at least a half a dozen people here this morning that still don't understand I don't use guilt. Some of you don't even know what that means. I don't try to guilt you into anything. The Christian life is a Christian life. Does he love you? Do you love him? Go for it. This isn't about feeling guilty. But the problem is, if Pastor Warren says you need to develop a prayer schedule, you know, pray when you go to bed, pray when you wake up, pray during the day, and you lock and load and you get trapped, and then you don't do that one day, 2 days, and what do? You just quit. Now, friend, I think most of the pastors that I have been under, really, Pastor Hill included in the early days, they wanted us to pray. They weren't trying to be legalistic. They weren't trying to say, man, if it ain't 6 a.m. But I think sometimes we do it where? In our own? We trap ourselves. What is, hey, what's Paul saying? Praying. Don't get into this because you lock yourself out of praying. Let me read you. I'm reading you a passage from the Bible. No, I'm not. I'm reading you my summation. Here's Paul. I like my way of praying better than your way of not praying. Just pray always. Yes, it's good to have a schedule. Look what he says in first. I say in your notes, I actually read a book, and now this is no joke. I cannot tell you who. I mean, I know who, but I won't tell you who. I actually read a book where a male, not a man, said he had his life scheduled in. Do you realize how much time it would take just to write that kind of stuff down? I'd rather live my life. Oh. Did he have his life scheduled in those small increments? No. He was trying to be spiritual and trying to demonstrate something. And by the way, and then the poor people out there were thinking, wow, I don't do that. I guess I'm a backslider. And they feel what? That's not the point of this. Praying, say it with me, always. Paul says this, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12, the highlighted portion, continuing instant in prayer. Colossians 4, continuing in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I say in your notes, friend, these are not meant to be burdens or traps. That's not the whole point of this. In your notes, there is not a time you cannot pray. That's all Paul means. Folks, prayer is not, I can only pray when I go to church, or I can only pray at the appointed times. There is not a time you can't pray. So let's just pretend. I like the three times a day. Why do I like the three times a day? Because they kind of match important times of the day. You go to bed, meditating and praying. Good idea or bad idea? Yeah, because you start taking your mind under control. It's one of the first places you start doing it when you go to bed. You don't let your mind wander. You actually go to sleep thinking about God, praying, singing, reading Scripture, meditating on Scripture. My wife bought her mother, then I bought one for my mother, one of those little gizmos that reads the Bible. I don't remember what it's called. Jenny, do you know? Little King James Reader. By the way, my mother loves it. You know why? Because she can't see anymore. Pretty much blind in one eye because of macular degeneration. Jenny's mother, every time I'd come home, now she'd be sleeping through it sometimes. But I don't feel bad for her sleeping through the Bible. You sleep through the Bible too, so you know. But my point is just listening to Scripture when you go to bed. How about in the morning? You start the morning off. And sometime during the middle of the day, you have a little time with God. You say, Pastor, but I can't do that. Okay. I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. Just do something. Praying always. In your notes. There is not a time you cannot pray. Pick one or two or three or four or whatever you want to do. Now, Jen Rush here. You know, Jen, how do you say your last name, Jen, exactly? I have changed her name. This week I saw Jen Rush. I was sitting out here and all of a sudden this door opened and I was getting ready to leave and all of a sudden these herd of young people went running towards that door and right behind him was Jen Rush. Shoom! Listen to me, when you got those little 4 or 5 year olds or whatever they are, probably in the middle of the class you can't say, hold on a minute, I need 30 minutes to pray. Thank you very much. Does that mean Jen can't pray? Of course not, friend. Because you're praying always. Just find a place and do it. Don't trap yourself in your own mind. Quit the bristling and the excuse making and all the dumb stuff we do. Don't get lost in your mind and heart. Praying always. Paul says, I like my way of praying better than your way of not praying. I think it's that simple. So, there's not a time you cannot pray. Pick one or two or three or whatever. And this is Pastor Warren's. Anybody that knows me knows who I am. get in a rhythm. Isn't life work good in a rhythm? By the way, it doesn't work well OCD. OCD lives have a lot of anger because somebody interrupts your little duckies. But a rhythm is a very different thing. Folks, I blame everything in life on Dada. I was having a nice, peaceful life. He started teaching some guys in the Philippines. He said, you should do this. I should never listen to him. Rule number one, don't listen to Dada. He says, you should teach in the Philippines. So I called some guys. They said, yes, we would love it. So every Thursday morning, I get up way before I want to get up. Now, Mike Hall gets up here every day because he's weird, but I don't like getting up that early. 5:15 in the morning, I'm out of bed. Do you realize, you ever heard your parent? My dad would say this, I would say this, nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing good happens at 5:15 in the morning either. I get up at 5, you say, what do? Do you hit the, oh no, if I hit the snooze, I'd be there till noon. When that thing goes off, I get out of bed, jump in the shower because I got to wake up, and I start at 6 a.m. Now, is it easy to have a rhythm like that? The answer, no. It interrupted my little duckies. This is the point of rhythm. Guess what happens when you miss a step? You just pick up on the next step. See, it's a rhythm. It's not this stuff. It's just a rhythm of life. You know, yesterday, my wife wasn't home, and I'm pretty worthless. No, that's not correct. I'm very worthless. She had fixed me food. I got up. We had a meeting. Cliff, Dada, Ade, and who else? Oh, Ezra. It was supposed to be an hour meeting. How long did it last? 2.5 hours. Well, our meeting, I didn't get to eat breakfast. Can't you tell? Yes, I'm just dying. By the way, life is a rhythm. Life is not OCD behavior. Just a rhythm. It's just, I did okay. I didn't eat breakfast on Sundays either. You say, are you doing okay? Yeah, I'll do okay. All right, are you ready? Paul says, I like my way of praying better than your way of not praying. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Praying always. Number two in your notes. Pray with all kinds of prayer. Now, folks, I was going to do something hilarious, but I decided against it, if you don't mind. I decided against it. When I was a young man, I read commentaries on these verses, and they tried to distinguish between prayer and supplication. And after a while, you have a headache trying to remember, what's the difference between praying and supplication? So what does Paul actually tell us to do? He says, praying always with what? All prayers and what? So you know what he's telling you to do? Shut up about what kind of praying you're doing and just do it. Praying with all kinds of prayer. You say, Pastor, that was just supplication. That wasn't prayer. I don't know the difference. Just do it. Quit playing. Look at me. Quit bouncing around, looking at your spouse, thinking other people are supposed to do this, or thinking of the 5,000 reasons you can't, and just do it. Praying always with all, however you pray, I think God gets it. So some people are real good at getting and just begging God. Some people can pray and fast. I don't care. And I think Paul is saying, I like my way of praying better than your way of not praying. Look at 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. But he's not really making distinctions between intercession. Oh, I know, you read some book. I have no idea what the difference between interceding and praying and making supplications. They all sound pretty similar. Why? Because Paul's not trying to distinguish them. He's telling you to pray. And you do it for all men. So tonight we prayed for your friends. And by the way, we ought to pray for your friends. And we ought to pray for your friends. We have met them before. We ought to pray for Danny's mother. Some of you are saying, well, but Danny's mother's going to die. What's that got to do with your prayer life? Answer the question. Who prays? We do. Who answers prayer? Why do we talk ourselves out of praying? In your notes, we are not all the same. Some of us, not me of course, are nervous, skittish, second guessers, and doubters. Is that correct? By the way, have you ever gone to a place to buy pizza? A good pizza place? And you open the menu and the menu is a book? There's like 8,000 kinds of pizza you can buy. There's thin crust. There's super thin crust. There's hand tossed. There's thick. There's deep dish. There's double deep dish. You say, which one do you choose? Here's Pastor Warren. Why choose? Now, I'm being goofy. Look at me. Why do you choose how you pray? Just pray. Quit the games. By the way, quit the games in between your ears. That's where the game's going on. It's that simple. Wow, Pastor Warren. I say in your notes, how do I say this? Some of us are nervous, skittish, second-guessers, and doubters. All of us, at least I think, fear doing it wrong or not doing it right. Judy, I know you're not this way because you are perfect because your friends are perfect. Right, Linda? Linda gave me an evil look right then. By the way, if I give... Listen, I love Judah. Everybody knows that. If I give her something to do, she wants to do it perfectly. Here's our problem, and I love that. I know you want to do it right. You do realize that attitude in prayer can cause you to stop praying? You just got to get beyond all of this. Because God in heaven is not judging. Oh, you didn't say the right word. Instead of saying, our Father which art in heaven, you said, our Father which is in heaven. Oh, no, you're out. My goodness, you don't have to write all this down, but this is Pastor Warren's opinion. I think it's from the text, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Look at me. Here is what I think it means. Paul is simply saying this, you cannot pray in a wrong way. Just pray. And if you pray in a wrong way, or you pray for the wrong things, or you pray for the wrong reasons, don't you think God can take care of that? Number three, pray with all perseverance and persistence. Would you all do this for me? Read aloud the verse together. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Friend, I'm not going to talk about perseverance. Here's Paul. I could just see some person been in church for 20 years or 20 minutes. They know more than Paul. They're going to tell Paul how to pray. And Paul would look at them just like D.L. Moody did and said, you know, I like my way of praying better than your way of not praying. Pray all, anytime you want to pray, do it. Whatever your rhythm is, get into it. How do you pray? Is it supplication, intercession, or prayer? Just do it. Pray. And the key of it all, look at me, is keep on praying. Now, I'm going to say this for all of you. We have prayer requests on Wednesday night. You do not need to keep a list of that. But last Wednesday night was a special time for you that were online. Now, I'm not mad if you weren't online. There's no anger here. But when Ralph, we have been praying for Ralph for how long? 3 or 4 months? And God has answered both of those unspoken prayer requests. And you're like, that was worth the price of admission. Folks, you ought to have prayer list that you persevere in on people like this. Let me give you a name. Leticia? Josefina? You say, yeah, but they're sinners and they're sick and they're Catholics. And my job is to do what? Tell me. And God's job is to? Why do you quit praying? Why do you talk yourself out of praying? Pray with all perseverance. Quit making excuses. Keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Look at me. Don't worry about if your prayers get answered. You're not special and I'm not special. Our job is God has given us this life to live. And you have friends that are sick. By the way, everybody has people like this. Pray. Ask God to do something. What can you lose? Nothing. You could draw closer to God. I guess that would be a bad thing. Other than that, I can't think of anything. Number four, pray for all people. Can I ask you a question? Is this exactly what the text says? Yes or no? Now, I want you to read the verse with me again. Are you ready? Praying what? With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Friend, I mean, to me, this is as simple as it gets. You pray at all times. You pray with however you want to pray. Pray with all perseverance or persistence, and you pray for all people. Paul tells us the same thing in 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He's not talking about males necessarily. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we, and by the way, friend, we have to get back to this. I mean, me too. That we may, our main goal shouldn't be to be the big shots in the world. Our main goal is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. You see, this can lead us, as I say in your notes, to another trap. People will get locked and loaded on this. Can I pray for, and you put in the person's name. People get locked. I've talked to my mother, listen, I prayed for my father. As far as I know, my father died unsaved. Does that mean I should not have prayed? Is there anybody you can't pray for? The answer is there are people you cannot pray for. I have that in your notes. When I ask, the answer is unreservedly yes. You can pray for anybody unless the person is dead. Once they're dead, prayer ends. But may I say this for all of you, and I mean this 100%. Unless the person is dead, and then there is this thing called esperanza, elpidos, hope. I don't know where my dad is because it's not my job to save my father. It's my job to, before he was dead, talk to him, be a good son, pray for him. Folks, don't lock yourself up. Quit doing that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And, Paul says, for me. I've actually had a person ask this repeatedly through the years. People, can I pray for the unsaved? Thank you for asking. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Did all the Jewish people get saved? It's not Paul's job to save people. It's Paul's job to share the gospel, live the life, and pray that God intervenes. By the way, we do believe that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Do we believe that? As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he wills. I have in your notes under the Daniel passage, and we are finished. Here's some thoughts. Pray for the unsaved by name. Now, don't just pray. You have to witness. You have to work. You have to, you know, there's things, you know, we don't, prayer is not a game. Yes, we do have to talk to people or have other people talk to people. No one that I know of gets saved just because of prayer. It's prayer and hearing the gospel. But friends, prayer is a big, or hearing the gospel in some fashion. It could be from a tract, a book, any number of ways. I would recommend that you have a prayer list of unsaved people. Do we have unsaved people? Yes, we do. I think Fawn has Fawn's mother is very, what is the term? In Tagalog, Fawn, it's Pusong Mamon. She's very soft-hearted, right? Are you indicating she's not? By the way, she is very antagonistic. I pray that she gets saved. I have no control over that. Why aren't we just keep on praying? Here's Paul. I like my way of praying a whole lot better than your way of not praying. And I'm tired of your excuses. And I'm tired of you shifting it off on your spouse. Or just simply ignoring what you hear. You feel guilty for 30 seconds and then you go back. Here, friend, it's really simple. Praying at all times, with all kinds of prayer, with all perseverance, for all people. That's it. Keep it simple. Give you a couple other thoughts and we are finished. I would recommend you pray for our country. Friend, we're now past the point of Black Lives Matters being anything about Black Lives Matters. We have to pray that our country doesn't fall into, and there is right fear. You got to hear this. Maybe you don't know our country. There is real fear of militiaism. We do not want that. Why? We have to live here, all of us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. There is something worse than injustice. That's instability. The worst thing is instability. By the way, Philippines is the corruptest mess you'll ever be around, but it's stable corruption. What happens when a country doesn't have stability? Ask Venezuela. Ask Zimbabwe. Country after country, unstable. You don't want to live there. We don't want that here. Pray for our country. Next. Pray for our specific needs. Next, pray with problems with anyone that you have. And the list goes on. Would you look at me, please? Did I tell you 7 o'clock? Yes or no? Here's Pastor Warren's sermon. Praying always. Pray at all times. With all prayer and supplication, with all kinds of prayer, with all perseverance, for how many people? There's nobody left out unless they're dead, and then you leave that to God. That's our job. Look at me. If you don't walk out of here tonight praying, this isn't about guilt. This becomes about rebellion. Do not, and please, do not trap yourself in your own mind. I hear these things. Pastor, I just can't do that. You somehow have trapped yourself in your own thinking. Don't do it. Father, thank you for tonight. Bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen. Let's all stand, please.